Blog Talk Radio.
Wealthy Sisters, the show that features six- and seven-figure earning women of color. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time as Deborah Hartnett, CEO of Deborah Hartnett International and founder of The Professional Black Woman, showcase the triumphant journeys of these powerful sisters. You will be inspired, encouraged, and informed every Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-838-9278. Today's broadcast is brought to you by www.wealthysisters.com, where the show can be heard 24 hours a day. And now your host, Deborah Hartnett.
Well, good afternoon. Hello, and welcome to Wealthy Sisters, sponsored by theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where we celebrate the lives of six- and seven-figure women of color. Our purpose is twofold, ladies and gentlemen. It is to inspire and to encourage the listening audience, and second, to edify, promote, and acknowledge, or just to say thank you to the sisters for doing big things. I'm Deborah Hartnett, your host, broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Today is Monday, August 17th, and we are here every week at the same time, Mondays at 12 noon Eastern, so spread the word. Woo! We are so excited about today's guest. I tell you, it is a real, real honor to have these powerful, positive, progressive sisters on our show today. Not only did they break the bank, but let me tell you, they own the bank. I mean, I first learned of them a few months ago from Black Enterprise TV show that airs there on Sunday. And later, I realized they were a part of the top 100 for Black Enterprise this year. Mr. Laura Sims and Ms. Margaret Henningson. Let me share a bit of their story. Mr. Laura Sims is the president and one of the founders and shareholder of Legacy Bank, which is the first African-American woman-owned chartered bank in the state of Wisconsin. Ms. Sims culminated an extensive, prestigious 28-year career as the VP of First Star Bank. She holds several seats on various committees, such as the Ethics Committee. And after retirement, Ms. Sims and two founders, Margaret Henningson, of which we'll hear from today as well, and Ms. Shirley Lanier, raised over $6 million in less than a year to capitalize on. On July 27, 1999, Legacy Bank opened its doors, and under the leadership of Dolores Sims, has since grown to, get this now, over $206 million in assets. Among numerous other awards, Ms. Sims is a recipient of the first ever Governor's Financial Literacy. Ms. Margaret Henningson is the founder of Legacy Bank, At age 50, she followed her dream of starting a bank that would cater to the banking needs of her community. She was the first president of Legacy Bank, a longtime advocate for empowering women and minorities. She recognized that access to capital and the ability to create is paramount. Today, the bank has assets, as we mentioned, over $200 million. They provide banking services to thousands of underserved people, funding more than 1,000 small businesses, commercial and economic development loans, creating thousands of jobs. Ms. Henningson focuses on the bank's mission of banking the unbanked and underserved markets. Those banking programs have become a nation model for community banks that want to reach out to untapped markets. Ms. Henningson also serves as the president of Wisconsin's Community Development Legacy Fund that has received three allocations of new markets, tax credits, 2005, 2007, and for more than $300 million. Wow, I'm telling you, this is awesome. We are telling you, we have the privilege to have these young ladies on the show today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest.
Are you looking for a voiceover artist to record your intros, outros, or promos for your online radio show, for your website, or for your business? Then go to www.deborahakbar.com. That's DeborahAhAkbar.com. Wealthy Sisters, the show that features six and seven-figure earning women of color. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time as Deborah Hardnett, CEO of Deborah Hardnett International and founder of The Professional Black Woman, showcases the triumphant journeys of these powerful sisters. You will be inspired, encouraged, and informed every Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-838-9278. Today's broadcast is brought to you by www.wealthysisters.com, where the show can be heard 24 hours a day. And now your host, Deborah Hardnett.
All right. Well, welcome back. We are here, Wealthy Sisters. It is truly an honor to present to you all today Ms. Dolores Sims and Ms. Margaret Henderson of Legacy Bank. Welcome, ladies, to the Wealthy Sisters radio show.
Good morning, and welcome back at you. I do need to let your listening audience know that it's just me for the moment, as oftentimes happens when you're a business owner. Things happen, and Dolores right now is in the middle of a closing.
Oh, well, we understand that.
Hopefully she'll be joining us shortly, but if not, I'll try to stand in for her.
Well, I know that you'll do an awesome job, and anytime you're handling that much money, things can't come up. And you got to take care of that closing right away. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. So tell me, Ms. Henderson, we were going to start with you anyway. Give us a little of your background, if you don't mind, like where are you from?
I'm actually a native of Milwaukee, born and raised here. I'm 62 years old. I can't lie about my age, by the way, because I often, when I tell my story, tell people that I was 50 when I decided to start my own bank. I was actually 50 years old, and so people can do the math and go, wow, she's 62. And I'm the oldest of 10 children. My parents, George and Mary Rogers, came from the South, different places in the South. And my father had his own business, a small corner grocery store was called Rogers Grocery. So I think the entrepreneur bug was instilled in me at an early age. I had no idea that I would end up wanting to start a bank, but I knew that I wanted to do something on my own. And it took me until I was 50 to actually make that decision. And I've been very, very active in the Milwaukee community my entire life.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. So tell me now, what did you do prior to owning your own bank?
I had a gazillion careers. immediately preceding starting Legacy Bank, and this is true of both Dolores and I was in the banking industry, and I actually had been very actively involved in different social service programs. I ran the Head Start program, which is a preschool program for all of Milwaukee County for many years, left there, got my broker's license, and was selling real estate. And that's when I first started seeing the discrimination and racism in the real estate industry and the lending industry and the way single women and black people were treated when they were trying to purchase their own home. And then I was working at Republic Capital Bank as a mortgage lender, and then that bank was purchased by a national bank called TCF. And that's what I was doing before we started forming Legacy Bank.
Wow. So you actually were able to see the ins and outs of the banking industry from,
yes,
from both sides, from,
yes,
from a participant or, say, a customer, and also from working on the inside as well.
Yes.
Now
that's important for your audience to know that having that kind of banking background, and this is true of both Dolores and I, you get to see how the banks operate on the inside and how decisions get made. And that's part of what drives your concern over the way, people are treated when they're applying for loans, because you know that exceptions can be made. And let me say now, Dee has joined us. She's in the room, in the house, as the saying would go.
in the house. Well, welcome. What perfect timing you have, Miss Sims.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters. It's an honor to have you today.
It is an honor to be here.
We were just sharing with Ms. Henderson, where she was sharing with us how a little bit of her background and how she actually came about owning a bank. Would you mind sharing with us your background? It's like, where are you from and how did you actually have this idea to actually form your own bank? And how did you all meet?
Well, actually, I had been knowing Margaret for a little while. She had been very active in the real estate area in Milwaukee trying to put minorities in homes. And I was a manager of the same building, a branch manager of this same building and where Legacy is located. And, you know, they would give a lot of different functions trying to get, you know, us to buy our own homes back then. And I would say this was at least 20 or 25, maybe even 30 years ago. My background was the other side. It was always my vision to put people in business. So, you know, I was a branch manager here, but I worked mostly with business customers and entrepreneurs trying to get them to successfully succeed in running their own businesses. Because we just didn't have enough business representation in our city that of black businesses. So, you know, that's the area that I really paid attention to and so and was very effective because I was the only one in Milwaukee that was paying attention to those types of people.
Wow. Now, where are you originally from?
I'm from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I came to Milwaukee when I was 5 years old, and I've been here ever since. I started my banking career as a teller at Midland Bank, and I stayed there a couple of years, and then I came to First Wisconsin as a teller also. And then I worked my way up to vice president and in charge of business banking, in charge of five more branches in the city, who were giving business loans.
That is so powerful. So I know with all of that experience both of you ladies have had, that you can really tell us how you raised that $6 million, was it, in less than a year?
Well, actually raising the money, you know, we raised over $2 million from a lot of my customers who were entrepreneurs whom I helped to go into business. And so that was sort of easy, you know, that part of it. You know, I invested in them and helped them get to be in a position to invest in the bank. The other things we did is we looked around and see where we knew people because, you know, relationships is real important to find people to invest in you. And so we looked around at different entities, other banks, of people where I used to work with, and we went to them, and we were successful in getting that money. We really thought we could raise the money in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, we really did.
Took a little bit longer.
Took longer, but we thought we had the juice to do it, and we almost did it. We raised $4.5 million, and then we just got stuck on 4.5 for a long time.
Oh, what a bad place to be stuck. Oh, just $4.5 million. Oh, man.
But one point be made, and this is very important for your listening audience if they're thinking about raising capital, is that it's really who you know. And we had to talk to a lot of people to get the 60 or so initial investors we had. And the other thing I think was really important is that we were able to go to potential shareholders and say, we have our own money in this. That is so important for entrepreneurs. A lot of times when people are starting their own business, they don't have anything of their own. And that can make all the difference in the world when you're trying to raise money, that you have to be able to show, I believe so much in this that I'm willing to, you know, commit my own funds. And we really had to talk to a lot of people. We raised the money privately So through a private placement memorandum, which meant that we could not publicly announce we were raising the money. So that increased the difficulty because then you had to keep talking to people to find somebody to invest. But eventually we were able to raise the money.
That is awesome. I tell you, the chat room is loving this. They're really jumping off over here as well. I want to take this opportunity to also introduce to the show our new show producer and our new executive assistant, Miss Opal Mabry. She is dynamic, a young lady who I know is going to do some marvelous things. We're so happy that she joined us. She's actually from the Oakland, California area. She resides now in San Francisco. She graduated from Southern University down in Baton Rouge and got her bachelor's in mass communication. So we just want to give her the opportunity to say hello to everyone on the line and in our chat room. Are you there, Miss Opal?
I'm here. Thanks for the
invitation. All right. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I tell you, I know it's a real honor to have our special guest on the show. So we just want to say thank you. And what are your plans? Because I know you want to own your own business as well.
My plans are, I have so many, but in the future, I do eventually want to be an entertainment reporter as well as own my own cosmetic line. And so it's a lot of different things I want to do, but, you know, it's not impossible. So I'm reaching for the stars.
All right. Well, welcome to Wealthy Sisters Show. We're so happy to have you, Ms. Opal. And I tell you, you are listening to two dynamic ladies, so make sure you're taking notes as well.
Oh, I got them right here.
All right.
Nice to meet you, ladies.
One of the things that will make you successful is to have a dream and reach for the stars. I mean, it is definitely a lot of work, but you have to be innovative and you have to want it bad enough to work hard for it.
And that is so true.
And once you get it, you have to always sustain it, and that takes even more hard work. So,
well, give us some practical. What have you done? Is Ms. Sims speaking?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but what have you done in your life to sustain those dreams? Because I know you all have been in business now 10 years. What have you done to help encourage yourself to stay on this journey?
Well, I think in order to be successful, you know, success sort of begets success. So once you're successful, you don't want to be anything else but successful. So you want to do anything that you can to stay successful. I can remember when the bank first opened, I worked 7 days a week, 10 hours a day for the first 3 years of the bank because we didn't have that many employees, and you can get a lot of back room things done when the bank is closed. And,
right.
And I'm a pretty old lady. I never thought I'd have to work that hard. In my olden years, but it took that much work in order for us to be successful. And so,
yeah.
You know, you just have to pray a lot and ask God for the wisdom and the strength, and he'll carry you through.
And you have to be realistic. I think we had quite a few reality checks around here where we both felt like we knew pretty much, but once we actually started laying the groundwork for the bank, it was evident that we were going to need resources.
Mm-hmm.
And we relied on and took the advice from those resources. We started talking to other bankers who had started banks saying, how did you do this and how did you do that? Instead of stepping back and saying we know it all, we were willing to let people kind of give us some guidance. But still stay true to our mission and what we wanted to do. And I'll be honest with you, there were times when we said, you know, what were we thinking of? Because, you know, things can happen. And when you have your own business, you have to be committed to putting in the time. We've talked about this often, how much time went by before we took a vacation, how much how you missed things. Things were happening, and we would go, "Did that? When did that happen?"
Oh, major incidents in the world. Like, yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, when did that happen?
But I know.
I will say this though, that when we're out in the community, especially me, because I do a lot of stuff in the community and I'm driving around, there's nothing more gratifying than being able to say to myself, we made that happen. Drive past a business, a school, a church. Something is going on in our community, and we know that Legacy Bank played a role in making that happen. We still have a lot to do here in the Milwaukee community. There's when we decided to start the bank 12 years ago, Milwaukee led the nation in teenage pregnancies. We had the highest incarceration rate of black males between the ages of 35. We had the youngest black male population. We had the highest dropout rate from the school system. That was when we decided to start the bank, and some of those things have changed. We still are in the top five in terms of unemployment, but I think we're very proud of the fact that we've had a lot to do with reducing some of that unemployment through the businesses we finance. But that's all a part of owning your own business. It's a 24/7 proposition. And you also have to be cognizant of what you need to make the business run. That's the sign of a good entrepreneur. What would it take to make Legacy Bank operate the way it should? And I think we've made all the right decisions so far.
Wow. Wow. I mean, what I hear, I mean, it's obviously you have to be able to be in business for such a long time. 10 years is a decade, and that's that. I mean, and I remember when I first met Ms. Henderson. Let me just say this: you all are just so humble. I want everybody to know that you know, I didn't even expect to hear back directly from you guys. I expected to perhaps hear from one of your assistants, and when I reached out to see. And she's like, this is Margaret Henderson. I was like, oh, wow. You know, but it shows that your humility and your main point of starting the business was not just for money, because we all know that's why we are to run a business, is to earn income, but for the need of service. And I'm reminded of one of the famous quotes by Zig Ziglar that says, if you help enough people get what they want, you will automatically get what you want by default. So that is just an awesome testament or testimony to everyone and how you all are setting that great example there. We are here with Wealthy Sisters again with Legacy Bank's presidents and founders, Ms. Dolores Sims and Ms. Margaret Henderson. We're going to take a quick break.
This segment is sponsored by WillDrake.com. That's www.willdrake.com. The hot new suspense novel, Bad and Worse, A Tale of Men, published by Permal Coast Publishing. Sometimes the only way to stop a killer is to love him. Available in stores November 2009.
All right. Well, we're back live with the wonderful Legacy Bank president and founders, Ms. Dolores Sims and Ms. Margaret Henderson. Ladies, tell us about all these assets that you have. What can you share with us? Because I know this is my first time being able to really have a great conversation with a bank owner. And could you explain to us how this works?
How what works?
Oh, your assets. You know, explain to us, yes, what they all consist of. And just give us, I guess, in layman's terms, what the assets are.
A balance sheet of a bank is almost the opposite of a balance sheet of any other business. So one would think that our deposits would be our assets, but they're not. They're our liabilities. Our assets consist of our cash and our investments and our loans. And all of the deposits are on the other side. They're all liabilities. And so in order to grow, you have to grow your loan
loan portfolio, and our loans are mostly in small business, I would say about 75%, and I would say 20% in consumer and 5% in home ownership. It was hard for us to get involved in home ownership. We have partnership with some people to try to get there, but we are, through our Legacy Redevelopment Corporation, we are building a 51 housing project about five blocks away from the bank, and so we're pretty excited about that. But yeah,
wow.
You have to have a lot of loans on your books to grow your assets.
Wow. See, I never thought of that. So deposits, I always thought that that would be an asset. You're saying that's a liability because why?
You have to pay them back. I mean, it's other people's money. So it's a liability. A loan is your money that you loan to other people, and they have to pay you back. So that's why it's an asset.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
And that's also why we need deposits. And that's one way your listening audience can really help us, is by putting deposits in our bank. Those deposits then get lent out to customers. And all banks operate the same way. And that's why I tell people all the time that if you're putting your money in a bank and they're not lending in your community, they're not helping you, you shouldn't be banking there. Because they take your deposits and lend those deposits to people. And so maybe it doesn't include you or people in your community. But the deposits that we get, there's several different kinds of deposits that we can get. But, you know, we pay interest on some of those deposits, like certificates of deposit. And
mm-hmm.
So when people put their money here, they're helping to support Legacy Bank's efforts to lend. And then the loans that we do, as Dee mentioned, on the asset side, we also earn income from those loans, because every time we get a payment, we get to take that interest and put it back towards our bottom line. So, and all banks operate the same way. It sounds very simplistic, and it could be, you know, as simple or as complicated as you want it to be, but that has a lot to do also with why, when banks do lending, they ask customers to have their banking relationship with them, because they want to try to replenish some of the funds that they're lending out.
Oh, that makes sense. I understand that. Now, let me ask you, how have you all been able to be so successful during this time? I remember hearing on the report and reading that even though there's your competitors or larger institutions have needed bailouts, you all have had a constant and steady growth. How would you, or what would you contribute that to?
You know, from the very beginning, there was a need for this type of a bank. And Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
maybe Milwaukee could have some unique characteristics from other cities in terms of the fact that there was data out there that supported the need for capital to come into the minority community here for blacks and women. It was evident, and I mean, there's a ton of data that supported this going back to the early 90s, which said that it was very hard for people to get loans. And so it was our premise that the demand was out there, and that if we started this bank, whose primary mission was to serve people who were underserved or unbanked, that we would be successful. And that turned out to be true. We've had double-digit growth every year at this bank since we opened. This year, of course, is a little different. We're not going to have double-digit growth, but we've actually know that our bank is in pretty good shape compared to the other banks. And
mm-hmm.
while some banks are looking for bailouts, we have been able to avoid that, even though we did get a TARP allocation, but we got some of the TARP money that was designated for healthy banks, which is what we are. A lot of hard work has gone into this. A lot of thought has gone into what we want. But I just felt like the demand was there, and that if we started this bank, it would be successful, and that turned out to be true.
Yes, I mean, really, it really has. It really has turned out to be true. So, with that in mind as well, what is your customer base like now? You know, and also, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have a really diverse customer base, but it is primarily minorities and women who bank mm-hmm. with us. And people have a tendency to think that because people are a certain race or culture, or ethnicity, income level, that they're going to be a risk. We look at it differently, that they're going to be an asset, and that's turned out to be true. We have a very strong educational component at Legacy Bank that makes sure that our customers are aware of what they're doing before they step out there. We have a lot of this is very true in the black community overall. We have a lot of first-generation business owners as customers. So they didn't have a template or a role model
mm-hmm.
to help them see what it would take not only to start their own business but to keep it going and making it profitable. So we oftentimes use how we started the bank as an example of things that people need to do when they're trying to start their own business. And another part of our mission is to build wealth. And I can tell you from my own experience that the majority of people in our communities don't think in terms of wealth. They think in terms of surviving, making it from paycheck to paycheck, or thinking about, you know, one goal or one thing that they want. But we overall don't think about wealth, and we have the capacity to build wealth. There are many black people in this country who have built wealth from nothing. And so that's what we really promote. We try to say to people who are starting their own businesses or banking with us, start small. Here's some things that you can do to build up your assets. When you get a tax refund, don't run out there and spend the whole thing. Put it in a certificate of deposit and use it as collateral to borrow money. This is what mm-hmm. most people do. They don't spend their own money. If they get a chunk of money, they don't run out and spend it. And that's mm-hmm. something that our community is learning about now and understanding that there are ways to build wealth, but I can tell you from my own experience, it takes sacrificing.
Man, so do you have some type of workshop that you offer on a regular basis to educate people on that?
As a matter of fact, we have relationships, and this is what I really do at the bank quite a bit. It was part of my vision was to really do hands-on things with the community and help them to understand what they need to do. And so we have relationships with over 30 agencies and organizations in Milwaukee and surrounding suburbs, so to speak, where they have the kind of clientele we want to reach. And we actually physically go out to those organizations and conduct regular financial management classes, homeowner classes, how to start a business. And we also do things here at the bank. If you go on our website, we have a gorgeous bank. We're on the National Historic Register. It's beautiful. And we have hosted probably 100 events in our lobby. We allow agencies and organizations to use our bank to host events of their own so that we have an opportunity to touch as many people as possible and say to them, this is what you need to do. We also even developed a product here at the bank called First Account that was really came from the Treasury Department that talks to people about opening an account, even if you've had some past issues, some of the things that you need to do to get a bank account. And in our community, and there's data that supports this from the Treasury Department, more than 50% of people in our community don't have bank accounts. That's sort of like a national.
That's amazing. More than 50%?
It's crazy. But that's why these check cashing places spring up mm-hmm. all over the place. And I'll mm-hmm. tell you something really interesting. A couple of years ago, I had to drive across country, and I went through a lot of small towns where there aren't any black people or Hispanics or Asians. And there were check cashing places there, too, because those places are really more income-driven. They go into low-income communities where they know people are not going to have
a banking relationship, they come into black communities where the major banks close their branches. So while people are critical of them, they provide a service that's expensive, but they provide a service, and that's why they flourish, because we support them. We pay those fees. Matter of fact, Dee had to step out of the room to go back to her closing, but one of her customers when she was at First Star was someone who had one of these check cashing places, and she often tells a story about how these two guys who don't live in our community became millionaires off the fees people in our community were paying them to cash their checks.
Millionaires.
Millionaires.
Wow.
With an F on it.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's what happens is that people oftentimes come in our community and take advantage of us because we're not knowledgeable about what we should be doing when it comes to our money. We never would have been able to start this bank. I actually, when I write my book, which I guess, you know, I'll probably be 100 when I write it, my book is going to be from bankrupt to bank owner, because I actually went through a bankruptcy. And after I got out of that bankruptcy, I developed a plan. I'm not going to let this happen to me. It was a result of my first marriage, bad first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a plan for saving. And I started looking around and asking people questions. You know, how did you save this money? What did you do? And as I was in my 30s, before I'd ever heard of a 401k, I'm amazed at the number of black women I've talked to that have access to a 401k, can get in that program, and don't do it. It's free money.
Free money.
But when you start talking about building wealth, you have to look at what people who have wealth did.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them who had wealth started out just like us with nothing. But it's all in how you think about what you're going to do with this money. That I use my 401k as my investment to start Legacy Bank. I cashed in everything I own, but I would not have had that $250,000 after being bankrupt had I not started looking at what can I do to build my wealth in case I want to quit working or start my own business or just do some of the things I want to do. And that's what I want to encourage your listening audience to think about. You know, the name of the show is Wealthy Sisters, and how we get there has everything to do with the way we handle our money.
Wow. I tell you, you're listening right here. Go tell everyone to dial in, tune in to Miss Margaret Hennison of Legacy Bank. I mean, she is sharing some powerful information. I'm just speechless, taking notes. This is powerful. You can dial in at 347-838-9278. We are going to take questions here shortly, 347-838-9278. We will take a short break.
Wealthy Sisters, the show that features 6- and 7-figure earning women of color. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time as Deborah Hardnett, CEO of Deborah Hardnett International and founder of The Professional Black Woman, showcase the triumphant journeys of these powerful sisters. You will be inspired, encouraged, and informed every Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-838-9278. Today's broadcast is brought to you by www.wealthysisters.com, where the show can be heard 24 hours a day. And now your host, Deborah Hardnett.
All right, we are back. And I tell you, everybody that's in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, tomorrow is the day. We have none other than the dynamic Miss Linda Clemens, who is a transformation coach. She's a world-renowned speaker. She travels literally all over the globe as a master sales strategist. She's a body language expert. When I'm telling you, she can pick you out the audience and tell you things about yourself that only you and God and your mama knows. She will give us practical tips tomorrow. She's going to be here in the Maryland, D.C. area at the Sheraton Columbia Town Center. We're serving dinner twice. You're going to be able to feed your mind. online and the physical. Tickets are $59. You do want to go ahead and register today so that we can make sure we have some food for you. Again, that is the awesome Linda Clemens coming in tomorrow at the Sheraton Columbia Town Center. Visit www.deborahhartnett.com to register. That's www.deborahhartnett.com. And click on the Financial Breakthrough tab. We look forward to seeing each and every one of you all in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area there tomorrow. Well, I tell you, we are so honored to have Legacy Bank's president and founders, Mr. Laura Sims and Ms. Margaret Hennison. They are really sharing some powerful information with us today. We do have a question, Ms. Hennison, from one of our listeners that's actually in our chat room.
Okay.
And Mr. Frederick Penn, he has an awesome organization. He calls himself the Godfather of Self-Esteem. And he would like us to ask you, he says, would you ask how males have supported the creation of the bank and what men are doing today to make your bank a success?
Oh, we have lots of men involved with us. And I'll tell you something else. We didn't start out with the intent that this would be all women. It just happened to go that way. My first partner was a longtime friend of mine who had been unceremoniously dumped from the bank where she worked, and she walked in my office one day and said, are you still thinking about starting a bank? Because I had been talking about this for over a year before I actually made the decision the day after my 50th birthday. But the first two chairmen of our board were men, and they were men who stepped up to the plate and invested a significant amount of money. When D went to them, they said, yes, where do I sign? We have male employees, of course, and several men, prominent Milwaukeeans, who sit on our board of directors and help to guide the bank. The holding company board, and we're the only women-led holding company in the whole United States, is all women. And we deliberately decided to do that, but we have lots and lots of men who we used as role models because, unfortunately, there were no women at that level who could provide us with the kind of expertise we wanted. So tell him, have no fear. Brothers are in the house.
The brothers are present. The men are present. All right. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, if you have questions, please dial in to 347.
As a matter of fact, we had a succession plan. So, you know, the D and I would not be working here when we were 80 years old. And we just hired.
Although I know you could do it.
Yeah. And we just hired a new president. D now will be the chairman and CEO, and it's a man. His name is Jose Mantilla, and he's been here. We just officially announced it last week, even though he's been here since March.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I know Mr. Penn is happy about that.
Yes.
And definitely, if you have further questions, please dial into 347-838-9278. We have the awesome Ms. Margaret Hennison and Mr. Laura Sims of Legacy Bank on the line. We'll take a call. I believe this is out of the Florida area. Hello. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters. Please introduce yourself and say where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Montina Fortune, and I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, wonderful. Welcome to our radio show. You have a question for the lovely Ms. Hennison today.
Yes, Melon. Thank you so much for having this call, and thank you for Ms. Sims and Ms. Hennison being on the call. This has absolutely had me just stirred up. I appreciate her being so transparent with us and also with the discussion. I've heard something that I have not heard before, which is the cash in with the 401k. I am a first generation business owner, or I'm actually in the hobby stage because I'm not yet making the money I'd like to make. And one of the challenges, though, that I'm finding is hearing from different resources about, you know, to go in debt free and or to invest your own money. I have began a nonprofit for single parents, and my target audience really is the lower middle class, upper middle class single parent, because I noticed once I was getting the six figures and raising my children alone, there was just no assistance available, and I fell into that where my daycare fees were $1,500 to $2,000 a month, and, you know, it was very difficult to move ahead. So with that, you know, the challenge is coming from now going to the banks and now being in a position where I'm in a career that is paying me, you know, good money and trying to look for avenues to leave. So when I'm going to the banks now or my credit unions, I'm actually against the challenge where I have a business plan developed. I actually have space donated and projections, and I'm having a very difficult time with, you know, getting them to not only see the vision and or, you know, borrow the money. So I guess more of it was just a comment of thank you, because I think that today hearing that cash in the 401k, I have invested well. I have a financial advisor, and I think I see where I can now, you know, move forward and take that step into my dreams. So I wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you have the money there, and it's your, like they said, it's your vision. I know Ms. Henderson can answer even better than this, that no one is going to support your vision like you. So
exactly.
That's
very true. And I'm glad that I was able to, you know, give you an idea, because that's what it takes, is all of us talking to each other about, you know, we can't be selfish. If we're going to move ahead as a people, then we can't be selfish. We have to be willing to share everything. And someone asked me one time, they said, well, after the bankruptcy, you know, how did you get back on the good foot? I had a job, but I sat down and developed a plan. And one of the things is I'm like the shoe queen of the world. I was the Imelda Marcos of Milwaukee. What I did is I had a rummage sale in my front yard, and I sold all my shoes.
No, you did sell your shoes.
And then I stopped buying shoes. I said, okay, I'm going to give up shoes. That rummage sale, I made over $3,000 selling my shoes. I actually could have made more than that, but I got tired of selling them. And it caused a traffic jam on my street.
Now, come on now. Don't tell us we got to sell our shoes.
I took that money and put it in a mutual fund, and my daughter was 13 when I did that. And without putting any more money in that mutual fund, by the time she graduated from college, from high school, I had enough money to pay for her first 2 years of college. But I'm going to tell you, it was really hard, because when that mutual fund started to grow and I saw how much it was worth, the temptation to take that money out was so strong. But wealthy people get wealthy because they forego the temptation. And I just let that money sit there. Periodically, I put a little bit of money in it, like my tax refund or something. But one of my other goals was my daughter would go to college without borrowing any money, and that's exactly what happened. We didn't have to take out any student loans until her last semester.
Wow. That is a powerful tip right there.
Yep, it took sacrificing. So you cannot go to people and expect them to fund your vision, and you haven't funded your own vision. You can't do that.
That is so true. Well, we have another question from a caller down in the 972 area code. Hello. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters. Please introduce yourself and say where you're calling from.
Hello. Thank you. My name is Karen Heck, and I am from Oklahoma, but I used to live in Dallas, Texas. And I just wanted to say, I started a business last year, and I am so grateful, Deborah, for this call, and I thank you ladies for being on the call, because I know one of the things in Dallas, they had tried so many African-American banks, and they always failed, and even with us trying to support in the big community there, but I think part of it is us not truly understanding, and like the lady before me, the you all being so open and explaining things to us help, number one. And I think when we are trying to start a business, trying to support each other is so difficult because we are too busy trying to be competition against each other. And it's just so awesome to hear that the sacrifices you had to make this work, and then encourage those of us who own or have started our own solo business, entrepreneurial businesses, that we can do it, and it's possible. And to see somebody else who looks like me, talks like me, act like me, making a success at it. So thank you all so very much for this, because this is so needed. And I really appreciate it. And as I make my sacrifices, because one of the things you said is we have to sacrifice, and that's a lesson I'm having to learn over this past year to get ahead in my creative consulting business, which isn't always easy. But I tell you what, if I want to be successful, I know I had to do it. And number two, now you've let me know that I'm on the right track. So thank you.
Very hard. You know, I bought a 1991 Jeep Cherokee, new, off the showroom floor in 1991. When I started this bank, I still had that 1991. I still have it now. My husband drives it. And finally, people just said to me, Margaret, you have to get another car.
So you got to have balance there, you say. You got to find a balance.
I did not want a car payment, but that's sort of where I'm going with this is sometimes people get caught up in the show part of it and feel like they have to spend a lot of money and look a certain way. And, yes, it's okay to do that, but everybody knew that that white Jeep was mine. They would be tracking me down. They'd see me driving down the street. And finally, I did buy another car because it just, even my daughter, she was like, Mother, please.
Maybe that's the secret of success. If they thought you were doing, helper, she needs some help. We need a deposit in the bank.
Exactly. I said, as soon as I get to a certain level at the bank, I'll buy me a car. So come on in, money in here. But on the serious side, you have to make those kinds of sacrifices. And we really poured our own money into the bank. And then, continue to do that. I mean, even this year when things were looking so rough, we knew we didn't give ourselves bonuses. Bank-wide, we sat all of our employees down and said, this is what needs to happen. We need to look a certain way. We're raising capital right now. We're looking for shareholders, and it was absolutely the right thing to do. Painful, but the right thing to do.
Because that's your baby.
That's
your baby, and you're going to do everything as the lioness does, everything to protect their lions in the den, their little cubs in the den. You're going to do the same thing with your business. I mean, it's your blood, sweat, and tears and equity. Everything is involved in it, definitely. So we have another caller that would like to ask you a question. Caller, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Please introduce yourself and let us know where you're calling from.
My name is Queen Uokas Ra, and I'm calling from Alabama.
All right.
And I'm enjoying the communication about the bank and the women in these powerful positions. I have a question pertaining to gold as an investment. And also, and the reason I'm asking is because there's a lot of things circulating the Internet that there's still some, which is not a surprise, I paraphrase that, that there's going to be a lot of challenges with banks coming up in September. And let me turn that down.
Turn that
and
down for us in the back.
I
yeah,
did,
thank you.
I did. And I just wondered, if you were willing to speak on that. And it's like Bank of America is going to be one of the big moguls sucking up a lot of the smaller banks, which, again, does not sound so far-fetched in the view of things that have gone by. So the question is pertaining to gold either way, however you choose to respond to it. But those things are going through the Internet that there's going to be another bank.
You mean whether or not gold is a good investment?
And in terms of the banks immediately having a lot more trouble coming up and – also, that's it. There was something else, but it went out of my mind.
Yes, there,
all right, thank you.
The listening audience should know this, that 89 banks have failed since last November, 89, and maybe more than that, but 89.
Out of how many, Ms. Henderson? How many would you?
Out of thousands.
Okay,
But that's a lot when you consider that probably over the last 30 years that many banks haven't failed, and those numbers are growing, and many of them are smaller banks, they're regional banks.
Some of them are banks where their entire portfolio was, they got caught up in all the mortgage lending. But there are still many very strong banks. The whole thing with this, the downfall of the financial industry really had a lot to do with greed. People were very greedy, didn't care what they did to get what they wanted. And even now you read about some of these banks and investment companies still wanting to pay out these bonuses even though they've gotten a bailout. So we need to watch the news. We need to turn to those cable channels instead of those soap operas. You need to be looking at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and any local newspapers where you live, and stay on top of what's happening in the financial industry. That will help you make a decision about whether or not you want to invest in a bank or gold or whatever you want to do. You have to follow the trends, and you have to arm yourself with knowledge. I read about 10 newspapers a week. They pile up, and I read them all on the same day, but nonetheless, I try to read them. I try to we have a TV here in the bank in the lobby that's always on one of the news networks, and
okay.
I encourage our employees and our customers to know what's going on in the world. These bank failures are affecting us because the less banks there are out there to lend, the more like a monopoly it can become, because after a while you're going to have all the banks saying the same thing. That's why it's so hard to get a loan right now. Banks
yes.
are getting this money, and they're supposed to be lending, and instead they're not doing that, or they're being very selective about their lending. And guess who's being hurt by that? The wealthy sisters.
That's right.
The ones who need it the most are being
That's
hurt
right.
the most by this. But that's because we're not knowledgeable enough about what's happening to be able to raise sand about it. If you don't know what's going on in the world, you can't do anything to fix it. You can't demand that things be corrected if you don't know what needs to be corrected.
Well, I appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break here to pay some bills, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
Do you feel like there's never enough time in the day? You have a laundry list of 20 things to do, and you still haven't done, oh yeah, the laundry. Are you at a crossroads in your life and just not certain what's your next step? Are you just overwhelmed and feel like you have lost, well, you? We are here to help. Compass Coaching is a personal development company for women. We help you find your path and bring balance to your life. Visit us today at www.mypathmylife.com. We have life coaching plans as low as $19 a month and take our free assessment. That's www.mypathmylife.com. Every woman deserves a coach.
Well, we are back, and we have just 2 minutes left in the show. We want to thank you so much, Ms. Dolores Sims and Ms. Margaret Henningsen of Legacy Bank. And please tell us, how can we reach out to you? How can we get in contact with you, your website, your phone number?
Our website is www.legacybankcorp.com. And Bancorp does not have a K in it, so it's Bancorp, legacybankcorp.com. You also can type in Legacy Bank and you'll get to us. There is another Legacy Bank out there we discovered. Phone number, area code 414-343-6900. If people are interested in becoming customers of Legacy Bank, within the federal rules related to money laundering and terrorism, the Bank Secrecy Act has some limits on what we can do with people who are outside our target market. But, you know, please feel free to contact us or go to our website, take a look at some of the things that we're doing here at Legacy Bank, and who knows, maybe somebody out there will get inspired to start a bank wherever they live.
Oh, wow, that is so true. And I know you did mention that we could do some type of online banking with you, but we've got to make sure we are identified. And as far as the loans were concerned,
yes.
They have to live in the actual state of Wisconsin to be able to get a loan through you all based on the federal regulations there. But I encourage everyone to go to your website there. That's the Legacy Bancorp.com, and that's B-A-N-C-O-R-P com. And give us your phone number one more time.
Area code 414-343-6900. That's our main line. Let me give you my direct line, too. It's 414-343-3003. I always have to think about it.
All right. Awesome, awesome. Well, you have been listening to Wealthy Sisters with the bank president and founder, Margaret Henderson of Legacy Bank, and Mr. Laura Sims. Thank you, and please tune in next week.
This has been another episode of Wealthy Sisters, brought to you by theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where success is inevitable. Join Deborah Hardhead, our host, next week as she interviews another powerful, positive, progressive, wealthy sister, and visit us on the web at www.wealthysisters.com. See you next time.
Deborah?